Hello, Podketeers. Please keep your hands and arms inside the podcast at all times. Hey, I'm trying out my park guy voice thing. Hey, it's late. Give me a break. Anyway, here's the D23 Voices of the Park panel that I promised you. I hope you like it. And that'll wrap it up for sure for this week. If you didn't get enough audio out of me for this week, then you're never going to be happy. Hey, have a magical Disney week and enjoy this little Podketeer extra.
Stage 28 will begin in just a few moments. But before we begin, here are a few reminders. For the comfort and safety of those around you, remain seated during the presentation, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the theater. And please, supervise your children. Eating and drinking are permitted, but we ask that you treat our theater as you would your own living room. On second thought, please deposit all trash in the waste cans. Thank you. As a courtesy to our presenters and everyone else in the theater, refrain from flash photography and turn off or silence your cell phones. Also, we ask that there be no texting during the presentation. The texting lamp is out. And now, Stage 28 and Walt Disney Imagineering are pleased to present Voices of the Parks. Please welcome Imagineer Brian Nevsky.
Wait a minute, was that it? Oh, okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Nevsky from Walt Disney Imagineering. Welcome to Voices of the Parks. This is a very unique presentation. We have never, ever, ever done this before. We've introduced you to the people who are the voices behind our many, many wonderful attractions at our Disney theme parks. This is really the best thing they have here at D23, I think. So. That's my opinion. Anyway, I gotta get my little handy-dandy thing. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to our panel, and I'm gonna do it by pressing this thing so that one at a time you'll hear their voices, and then I'll tell you who they are, okay? Okay, let's see if this works. Here we go.
The story began when Ariel fell head over fins in love. No, wait, that's not it. It began when King Triton asked Sebastian to keep an eye on Ariel. Wait, no, it really began when King Triton got all mad and Ursula took Ariel's voice and... Whoa, this story's getting away from me.
Ladies and gentlemen, from The Little Mermaid, Ariel's Undersea Adventure, Chris Enterley!
Good.
Okay.
They should have to guess who it is.
Yeah. All right, here's another one.
Greetings, my friends. This is Sala, sharing with you a few handy tips. Once on board, be sure to place your supplies and loose items in the pouch in front of you. Now, for your safety, you must remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Make sure you keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the transport. Watch your children. And remember, do not gaze into the eyes of the idol.
Have you guessed it? At the end of the panel, Bob Jules, the voice of Sonic. Okay, I hope I know who the rest of them are.
Future has never been so much fun. How about a quick round of virtual tag with some of your favorite characters? Or be the first to experience a new generation of video games. Interventions is the place where kids of all ages can play.
Oh, the voice of Interventions, Audrey Wasilewski. Audrey, you didn't even know you did that, did you?
It was like, maybe.
Yeah, that's you. It's Audrey. Okay, here we go.
Yo-ho! Yo-ho! Dead men tell no tales! Shiver me timbers! Avast there, lovers! Trinkets and coins! Trinkets and coins!
Okay, he's done. It's the bird, for the parrot from Pirates of the Caribbean, D. Bradley Baker. That is. And now,
ahoy there, crew. For your safety, remain seated, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the boat. And watch your children. And no flash pictures. Prepare to make sail.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Pirates of the Caribbean, Corey Burton. And 100 other attractions. Okay, another one.
Welcome to It's a Small World. For your safety, please remain seated throughout the voyage, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the boat. And please watch your children. Thank you. We have encountered a brief delay. Please remain seated in your boat. Your voyage will resume in just a moment. Thank you. Please remain seated until your boat comes to a complete stop at the dock and you are asked to disembark. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Queen of Thank You, B.J. Ward.
Okay. Space travelers, for your safety, please remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the rocket. And supervise children, you are clear to go. Attention, space travelers. All flights have been stopped and placed in a holding pattern. Please remain seated in your rocket. Welcome back, space travelers.
Star Tours, we sustained somebody to lead you through the planet's core.
How did that happen? We have two voices here. The voice of Space Mountain and the Gungan from Star Tours, Fred Tatasciore. So many people. Here we go.
The time is now. Tonight's story in the Twilight Zone is somewhat unique and calls for a different kind of introduction. This, as you may recognize, is a maintenance service elevator, still in operation, waiting for you. We invite you, if you dare, to step aboard, because in tonight's episode, you are the star. And this elevator travels directly to the Twilight Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the Mark Twain Riverboat. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings, and be sure to watch your children. The waters can be unpredictable in these parts, and we sure hate to lose any of you. Also, there should be no fires or smoking on board. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the Mark Twain Riverboat, Stephen Stanton.
Calling Star Command. Calling Star Command. Do you read? Repeat. Do you read? We are under attack by the evil Emperor Zurg. He is stealing our batteries. Repeat. He is stealing our batteries. Star Command.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Buzz Lightyear, Space Rangers, my friend, Jeff Fisher. No, I said that wrong. Buzz Lightyear, Astro Blasters. Okay, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. The lights surrounding the rivers of America will be dimmed so you can fully experience our breathtaking fireworks spectacular, Remember, Dreams Come True, presented by Honda. Please try to remain in the same area until the lights return to normal. Thank you.
Bill Rogers, everybody. Please, another round for all of the voices. And now the questions that I wrote down myself. Chris? Oh, give me a mic. Okay. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
So, actually, this is serious. What is it like to do a voice for the Disney thing? I'm sorry. Here you go. Hey, Chris. I should know better.
Yes, Brian.
I mean, what was it like the first time you heard your voice in the park? Please tell us. Because now you're infamous right now, because Scuttle.
Right.
What's that like?
The first time I heard myself as Scuttle, I went on the ride with Pat Brady, my agent. Where's Pat?
Over there.
Hey, there she is. The reason I have a career, Pat Brady. I tell everybody that. It's true. We went on the ride, and obviously you feel a swell of pride. You remember the session you did and all the joking. And when you do Buddy Hackett, it's kind of hard to let go of that persona. So there are outtakes that will never be played in the park. I'll tell you that. It's a family park, right? But and you're having a blast, and you feel like you're part of this... this just entity that you have watched since you were a little kid. I grew up with Disney. And then a couple of cast members come by afterwards and tell you to delete the footage from your cell phone that you were taking of the ride, because that's against the park rules. I couldn't help it. I got pinched. I was trying to go, that's me, Scuttle. I'm actually Scuttle. Yeah, you have to still delete it from your phone. All right. I can prove it. I'll do his voice right now. Yeah, just take the voice off the phone. All right, cool. So, yeah, it was an awesome feeling. It's exactly the way you would think. It's like, that's me, and I'm part of Disney, and it's awesome.
Hey, Bob Joles.
Yes?
Do you ever just stand outside of Indiana Jones and just listen to yourself?
Well, my friend, when I was in there just the other day, I've listened to it a few times, but my biggest piece of pride over this voice that I've done of Sala was when my brother and his wife and my nieces went through the ride, and they called me the next day and said, he said, you know, Bob, we went through the ride, and your nieces were listening, and they just had their eyes wide open. And they said, that's Uncle Bob. And somebody in line next to them said, what do you mean that's your Uncle Bob? It's my Uncle Bob doing that voice. No, it's not. It's John Rhys Davies. No, it's my Uncle Bob.
No, it's both of you.
Yeah, well, it is both of us, but John being so camera shy these days.
This is true. This is true.
Double dealing deity of death.
Yes, he certainly is. Indy, why does the floor move? Asps, move any back. You go first.
Audrey.
Yeah.
You're so sweet. Audrey. Tell me about, because we have done a lot of attractions together, and I did play the one that you probably didn't even think I was going to play.
Oh, you went
for
all
you.
The way back. I think that's where it began. Because that's no more, right? Interventions
No, Interventions is still... Is Interventions not in the park anymore? Did I miss something? It's still in the park.
Is it?
You just don't go in.
I don't know. It doesn't drop. The floor doesn't move. It's all educational.
So, I just want to know, when you were growing up, did you go to the Disney parks?
My senior year of high school, we actually had a special semester where you had to go on different field trips to learn things about the outside world. And of course, there was a group of us that were like, well, we've chosen Disney. So we actually went to Disney World, and we got to spend 2 weeks studying Disney and the science of Disney and all the innovations and backstage at Epcot and how the whole park worked. And never in a million years did I picture that I would be a cog in that amazing, spectacular, innovative machine. It blows my mind. I can picture seeing the giant golf ball for the first time. My voice is in there now.
She is no cog.
I'm a tiny little cog.
Oh, we love you, Audrey.
It's a small world after all, isn't it? Oh, I should be removed.
Hey, Dee Bradley Baker.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Good. Hi, everyone. I'm Dee.
Hey, Dee, how did you discover that you could do these weird animal sounds? Was it just something? Because you've done for us, you did the parrot and pirates.
Yep.
You did bears for us recently. Yeah. I've always asked you to do crickets. But to be fair, Dee has also done regular voices. You're the voice currently right now doing the safety spiels in Buzz in what's the one with the Toy Story Mania?
Oh, okay, yeah. And I'm Boba Fett in Star Tours.
You are?
That I'm very proud of.
That's right. I didn't play Boba Fett, did I? I should have. He only has the one line. Hey, when you were a kid, you're growing up, which attraction was the one that you wanted to be a part of as a voice person? Did you think of things like that?
I never really thought of being a voice actor. I thought special effects and monster movies were really cool, as well as animated movies. I thought those were really awesome too. I loved Planet of the Apes. I thought that was awesome. I loved H.R. Puffin stuff. I thought that was, but I didn't really realize I was a closeted voice actor. I didn't really come out of that into that until my 30s, and then I realized
you worked at Disney World. You were a cast member.
I did. Yeah, I worked at Epcot for 4.5 years as an anatomical player. I opened that show at the Wonders of Life Pavilion and worked the World Showcase doing the live trunk shows as well back around 89 through 93, and then moved out here just in time for the Northridge earthquake in Los Angeles. And I've been to Disney a lot. It's a lot more humid out there.
But we're lucky to have you. Do the cricket again. Thank you. I always feel good when I hear that.
Are you still running, Brady and Command?
No, Cranium Command has gone, is retired at this point, yeah. Corey, since you're talking to me, I wanted to ask you a question. You grew up going to the parks. I mean, you listen to the voices of people like Jack Wagner and Paul Frees, obviously.
Right.
Were those the reasons that you got into the whole
thing? That is why I do this for a living. Disneyland was just the ultimate thing for me to do as a kid. It was just everything that I ever wanted to experience in life. And when that mysterious mansion finally opened, I had already known and been intrigued by that voice from the Monsanto Adventure Through Inner Space through the mighty microscope. And when I walked into the Haunted Mansion and heard that voice, like a bomb went off in my head. Who is that? I have to find out who that is. I have to find out about this business of doing character voices behind the scenes, and how can I learn to be one of them and to get to meet and maybe work alongside these people. And I made it my life's work to do that. And
I couldn't have a job without you, Corey. I couldn't have a job without you. Can I just tell you guys a quick story about Corey? You probably know that for the holiday version of Haunted Mansion, that the ghost host is played by my friend Corey over here. He's fabulous.
All the Smoke and Mirrors by Randy Coppinger, and the incredible writing, engineering, musical team.
This is true. One of the writers is actually here tonight. No, but what I wanted to say, because you are so fabulous in that, but you also have such a you're so true to our voices. You may remember a few years ago, we wanted to have the ghost host say arms, legs, hands, and feet inside the ride vehicle at all times, which would not have been part of the original Paul Frees track. Corey wouldn't do that because he didn't think that the ghost host should be messed with. We messed with him anyway, but I thought that showed a lot of integrity on his part. I think Corey is amazing.
It wasn't even a conscious decision. I just couldn't do it. It's like, just paint a little mustache on the Mona Lisa, just a little. No one's gonna notice. No, I couldn't do it. No. I just froze up and said, I can't do that.
That's right, and I have that $10 million I was gonna give you today.
All right.
There you go. BJ Ward, ladies and gentlemen, over here. BJ, if they were to give out the medal for the most classic voices that we've had in the park, BJ is one of them. How many of you remember the People Mover? BJ also did, when we redid Carousel of Progress in 93, she's the voice of Mother. She's also one of the singing voices in Splash Mountain. And you're Burroughs Rabbit. What is, I mean to ask you, what is Burroughs Rabbit? Which one is that?
I'm not sure. Oh. I did a lot of singing possums and rabbits, and I wasn't sure which animal I was, actually.
Because I was looking up in my files for everyone who is going to be on the panel tonight, and I kept finding B.J. Ward, B.J. Ward, B.J. Ward, B.J. Ward. But that was the one that stumped me. I said, Burroughs Rabbit in Splash Mountain? Okay.
I've been lucky to do so many voices for Epcot Center when it opened.
Right.
And I sang in Euro Disney and French, and of course they had French coaches. We were talking about this standing there because my school French I'd long forgotten, and they're going, but it never occurred to me people did voices. When I grew up, I just saw the cartoons, and I was like, oh, that's the cartoon. I didn't know you could actually do that. And when I grew up in Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware, and we were so far away from Disneyland, there was no chance of us ever getting there. So then to have done voices for the park and have my parents go to Epcot and go, you were bossing us around all over the place. And we used to do really funny takeout reels. Sometimes they say, oh, this is going to be the Christmas reel, you know. And you say, please keep your hands off the other passengers, because they would think, please take small children by the hand and watch your ass on that moving walkway.
Hey, Fred Tatasciore. Yay, you have quite a following here, I've noticed.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you today? I'm glad to hear that. So Fred, I have to ask you, when were you aware of the fact that you were going to be doing voices for a lifetime?
Oh,
just so I know.
What's that?
Just so I know.
Oh, it was way back. As long as I can remember, I always loved to make sounds and do impersonations and animals and noises, and it's really an illness, really. It's not, I mean, many of us, it's a problem. No, but yeah, it's a beautiful illness, though. No, for most of my life, pretty much, yeah.
And what was the first thing you did for Disney? Remind us.
The first thing, let's think back, gosh, it might have been stuff for California. There was some, let's see, going back.
I could tell you, but I thought you'd like to tell
me. Well, please, tell me.
John, I gotta look at my list.
Please, look at the list.
Entertain them while I'm doing this.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, space travelers. It's really weird to be on that ride and hear yourself count yourself out. You know, T-minus 10, 9, 4.
What if
Samuel L. Jackson, what?
Yeah, what if Samuel L. Jackson was telling you to keep your hands and feet?
I need you to keep your hands, your arms, and use some of the language because it's a family park. Moving on. No. I'm looking at you. No. We did a thing. What was it? What was our early one? It was with, it was a California thing, wasn't it?
Who are you talking to? Me?
You. You were saying, what was the first thing? You said there was something. You had something.
I thought you'd know, Fred.
Oh, okay. No. There was some was it? Yes, there's the Yeti.
Oh, yes. Well, no. The Yeti is not for here.
The first, the Yeti in Orlando, that right. Was a lot of fun.
For Expedition Everest, we go over that. He's at the top of the ride. He's the voice of the Yeti.
Yeah. Not an articulate fella.
No.
But I don't do a lot of articulate things. I have to do the Wookiees, too. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You have to speak Waki to do it, actually.
Thank you, Fred. Give me your mic. We got an hour. We can only do some. Hey, Mark Silverman over here. Mark.
Yes.
So, I want to ask you about this whole thing with Rod Serling. How in the world did you discover you could do that?
Well, I was an obsessed child as a young boy. I was a weird kid. Whatever I liked, I did impressions of. I was obsessed with a show called Get Smart as a kid. So I would walk around going, would you believe this is Maxwell Smorning in 86 of Control? Hello, Mom. What's for breakfast today? How about a cheese omelet and a piece of toast? I was odd like that because I wanted to sound like what I liked. So I liked Twilight Zone. I was kind of obsessed with it. And I got a call to do this audition for some Disney World attraction based on the Twilight Zone, which confused me just hearing that. So I... I went in and read it, and it wasn't that different than my own voice. I can sort of just go into it right now. This is the Twilight Zone. This elevated door will open from my... Wait, I got a birthday card here that does the two. You were the passengers in a most uncommon elevator. About to ascend. With your very own episode of the Twilight.
I actually go into crowded elevators and do this? Going to my dentist's office and was way up there with a lot of people in the elevator. As soon as the elevator doors closed,
you were the passengers in most of the
And I've done it about 9 times. You know, it brings a little Disney magic into everybody's life when they don't expect it. But when I knew that I was going to audition for this Rod Serling thing, I got a call back, and I was just excited that I was going to be able to go into Imagineering and look around in there, because I was obsessed with Disneyland, and I would always call Wet Enterprises and try to get in there, and they would never even return the call. So I had this audition, and I got to run around Imagineering, and the audition kept getting smaller and smaller.
And they liked the Rod Serling voice. They liked that I didn't force it.
Whereas if you watch like old comedians, they would do Rod Serling like this. This is the Twilight, you know.
But I wanted to do it a little more natural.
So when I found out I got this job, it was just, you know, it was by far the greatest voice job I've ever had. And if I'm in the library and people are talking, occasionally I'll say, shut up, I'm talking. But I really gotta have a lot of nerve to do that. But
we discourage that, Mark. Well, actually, I'm gonna have to cut you off for just a quick second because I have to move over here with my friend Stephen Stanton. Yay! Stephen.
How y'all doing today?
Hello. So I have to ask you, the whole thing, you do an amazing Rex Allen.
Well, the Robins are back, and that's a sure sign of spring. Y'all to head out to the Carousel of Projects and enjoy yourself in that one too.
So what is it about those classic Disney voices that attracted you? Because that's an amazing voice.
Thank you. Well, I don't know. You know, growing up watching all those the Disney nature films and, you know, that beaver thought he was going to get him that pound of bacon. But that cougar came in and he changed the whole scene. I mean, I can't watch a nature film without hearing that in the background instead of what's really going on. You know, they could be saying, you know, the lyrebird makes all these noises, but I really want to hear say, well, that lyrebird makes a whole heck of a lot of noises. You ought to listen to it. Well, what do you think, Brian? Well, I keep asking him to redo that Carousel Project for Progress.
But you do other voices aside. We also do this kind of Terry Thomas-y type.
Yes, I did this very interesting voice for this new attraction coming out.
Which we won't talk about.
No, we won't talk about it at all. And I had to do half of my dialogue in Cantonese in the same voice, actually. But we won't talk much more about it, shall we?
Well, we can't. No, we're not. We can't say the name of the park. It's not Shanghai.
Okay. No, it's not.
Jeff Fisher.
Yes. Hey, Brian. Hello. Hi.
So Jeff is one of our space rangers in the queue lineup. If you don't go through the queue line for Buzz Lightyear's Astroblast, you don't hear Jeff, and you don't hear BJ because he's the other one over there. Jeff.
That's right.
Is also the voice of the Piggy Bank. In the Great Piggy Bank Adventure at Epcot's Inventions. If you haven't been to Epcot to see it, please don't look on YouTube under Great Piggy Bank Adventure. I defy you. Don't look for it. But you will see a great performance. Jeff,
you're
such a funny guy.
Thanks,
How
man.
In the world did you get started in the whole business of voiceover?
You know, it's really crazy. I just fell into it. You know, I was always an actor. I started in plays when I was little. But I don't know, I happened to be back from college and somebody said, hey, come in and read this. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it was like some Pizza Hut or commercial. And then I became the voice of that. And then I moved out to LA after college to be an actor. And I was, you know, I'm just going to do on camera. And then I got a voiceover agent. And I was like, what is this? So weird. And I was like reading, you know, one piece of copy every 6 months. And I thought I was, you know, wow, this is really going well. I've never worked. And then my agent said, you know, you should audition. They need a guy that sounds like Michael J. Fox. for Homeward Bound 2. I was like, hey, this is Chance. Well, I just blew my voice out today, but, and this is home. And it's been my home for a couple of years now. And so I booked this job and I ended up working at Disney for like 3 weeks on this movie. And just being on that soundstage with Doc, who's like the greatest, you know, and I don't know, the casting director came over and heard me, and the next thing you know, I like had a career, and it was the wildest thing, just being at the right place at the right time, and that's kind of what happened. I thought, wow, I can do this? This is amazing. And so it's been a crazy ride, but it's been a blast. I love it.
Well, thank you. We love having you.
And love working with you. Thanks, Bob.
So there's really no one left me to... Oh, sorry, Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Brian.
Okay, so how did you get your gig? Tell us about the story of how you got your gig of doing these voices for the park, because you do... How many different voices there? You do all the parades, you do...
I do all the parades, most of the fireworks announcements. You know, a lot of what I do is just the park voice, because there have been times when I've been able to disguise it enough that people won't say, oh, it's the park voice. Right. One of those times was last night. I did a piece for the Wally Boak Betty Taylor tribute. And that's always a lot of fun because I don't get a chance to play somebody from way into the West very often. But nonetheless, I moved out here from Pittsburgh in the early 80s. And fell madly in love all over again with Jack Wagner's voice. Jack was the guy who every Sunday night told me, Walt Disney presents The Wonderful World of Color. And I went, I gotta have that voice. I gotta have that voice. I never got around to that voice. But I started doing things for a lady who was very nice when you know we started doing voice work for them. And she said, someday I'm going to be able to do something nice for you because you've been so good to our little company here. She called me about 3 or 4 years later and she said, I've just started working with another company and they have some really fancy audio equipment that we'd like you to see. And I said, okay, I'll come over and take a look. The guy says to me, well, this is all the fancy equipment and this is kind of how it works. And I went, oh, that's really cool. And then he says, I understand you like Jack Wagner. I said, the man is my hero. He really is one of the most amazing voice talents ever because he manages to bring this warmth, but a feeling of solid, you know, this is the way it is, without being overly voice barkerish. I mean, he doesn't sound like a guy that you're going to find at Ringling Brothers. And he says, well, we understand that you do a pretty good Jack Wagner. I said, he hands me the copy that you just heard at the beginning of the show, the original one, and it was for the Main Street Electrical Parade instead of the fireworks. He says, we'd like you to read this. So I went in. He says, do another take. Do it this way. And I went, okay. And came out of the booth, and he says, I don't make the final decision, but by Thursday, you're going to find out that you're the new voice of Disneyland.
It has been ever since. That was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Another round of applause for these people. Okay, incredible. So I could do another round of rather lame questions that I wrote, or... I thought it would be fun if we had them all do something live. What do you guys think? I thought you'd feel like that. So I brought scripts with me. Hey. Oh, I'm sorry. I just turned my back to you. Hold on.
No. All right. While he's doing that, I have a question for the gentleman down here in the Hawaiian shirt that looks kind of like a Disney shirt. Mr. Burton there. Mr. Burton right there. Corey, as I understand it, at the ripe old age of 17, you were doing Hans Conried imitations. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody
did this. I did the audition for a little school slide film produced by Wedemco. Actually, it was produced by an independent production cottage industry at Sandy and Whiteside, But anyway, it was they were looking for the voice of Hans Conried, and Dawes Butler and Don Messick and Hal Smith and a few other of the classic voice people were in the cast of this, and they wanted Hans Conried to be the voice of Professor Plumbutter. And I had met Dawes Butler when I was 15. He knew that I could do a pretty good Hans Conried. He said, I think you ought to audition for this. So I drove down to Beverly Hills and auditioned. I got the gig, and
as they say, the rest is history.
Yeah. My name started to get around Disney thanks to Wes Perkins and a guy named Randy Neeson, who I don't know where Randy is now.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I want to tell you about this man right here is that all of us brag about the range that we have, the number of different voices and the way we can couch things and all of the emotions we can bring to this business. But this gentleman goes from Hans Conried to Paul Frees in about 2.3 seconds. And that is amazing. I'm going to let him do it right now.
Oh, it's extremely simple. You see, Hans Conried is up here. It's all in the mask. It's all about phlegm and nasality and projection.
Well, then, of course, Paul Frees was very dignified.
Complain. Hey, Chris, here's a little copy for you. Would you mind reading that for us? Right here, right live?
Oh.
This is the other voice that Chris actually does for us, amongst other things, is Timothy Mouse from the Dumbo Flying Elephant attraction. We thought we'd have him do the spiel for you right now.
This is what your toddlers hear.
Hi there, it's your friend Timothy Mouse. As you know, Dumbo is a real high flyer. So as to make your flight a safe one, mind your step as you climb aboard and then be sure to stay seated with your seatbelt fastened, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside. And for all you grown-ups, be sure to watch your kids.
Bobby, would you do Sala live for me, please?
Greetings, my friends. This is Sala, sharing with you a few handy tips. Once on board, be sure to place your supplies and loose items in the pouch in front of you. Now, for your safety, you must remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Make sure you keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the transport. Watch your children, and remember, do not gaze into the eyes of the idol.
All night. By the way, for those of you who don't know, the other voice that Audrey does that you're familiar with is the Autopia. She's Susie, the Autopia car.
Hi, everybody. This is Susie, the Autopia car. When you get to the boarding area, please tell my friend, the track attendant, whether you'll be riding one, two, or three to a car. Please remain seated and be sure to wear your seatbelt while driving, okay? To make us go, push your foot down on our pedal. To stop, just take your foot off our pedal. Drive carefully out there, and don't bump the car ahead of you or stop at any time. See you on the road.
Oh. Oh, for goodness sakes, I can't even see this. Oh, here we go. Okay, so as you probably know, occasionally we change a voice out of an attraction. It's not because we don't love the person in the attraction, it's because sometimes the story changes, sometimes, like for instance, the Malibu-mer. We completely took it out of DCA. And we just recently retired a voice of California Screamin' that was there for the first 11 years, and that was my wonderful friend Dee Bradley Baker. So Dee, for old time's sake, would you do California Screamin' for us, please?
Yes, I will. Hey, screamers, just want to remind you that before the launch, you'll need to put on your hats, glasses, cameras, day packs, and any other loose items in a safe place on board, or leave them with someone who's not riding. Thanks. You'll be California Screamin' before you know it. Get ready, screamers. Head back, face forward, and hang on. Launch in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I got so many angry letters from your mother about that.
May she rest in peace.
Oh. Okay, now. No, it's okay, it's okay. I knew this would happen if I came tonight. So, Corey, you do all the wonderful voices. You do the Paul Frees and you do the Hans Conry. We all know that. But the voice that all of us hear that we cannot escape, because every time you come to the park you hear it, is, of course, the tram. Would you mind doing a little tram for us?
Woo! Woo!
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the Mickey and Friends tram. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. Please place young children toward the inside of the tram, away from the sides. There may be no lap sitting, except for very young children who are sitting with their parents. Children may not ride in strollers. Strollers should be folded and safely stored before we leave. As a courtesy to others, we ask that there be no eating, drinking, or smoking on board.
All right.
In just a few moments, we will begin our trip to the Disneyland Resort Main Entrance Plaza. Thank you.
Now, for those of you who remember the fabulous voice of the People Mover, B.J. Ward. But you haven't heard it because it hasn't been at Disneyland for so many years. I thought we'd have wonderful B.J. do the voice of the People Mover.
Please remain seated during your tour, keeping your hands and arms inside the vehicle, and kindly refrain from smoking. Thank you. You are now beginning a grand circle tour of Tomorrowland aboard the People Mover, the first system of its kind in the world. Since its 1967 opening, the People Mover has carried more than 50 million guests. Your tour of Tomorrowland will cover 3/4 of a mile and will give you a close-up look at many shows and attractions, as well as previews of many others.
Hey, Fred.
Hello.
Would you mind doing this for me? But before you do, I just want to ask the audience, how many of you were at D23 a couple years ago? Okay. You remember when we made the big announcement about Star Tours?
Yeah.
And we were interrupted by Darth Vader?
Yeah.
Okay, Fred, would you do that as the voice of Darth Vader as you did for D23?
Attention all pilots. To ensure a safe flight, mind the platform gap as you board the flying saucers. Then remain seated with your seatbelt fastened, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the flying saucer. And please supervise your younger pilots. Don't fail me. The Tin Pan Vader, thank you. This is CNN.
Oh. Okay, you know, Mark has already done a little bit of Rod Serling, but I'm going to make him do it live for us anyway, just because I brought the script with me.
All right.
No.
The time is now, on an evening very much like the one we have just witnessed. Tonight's story on the Twilight Zone is somewhat unique and calls for a different kind of an induction. This, as you may recognize, is a maintenance service elevator, still in operation, waiting for you. We invite you, if you dare, to step aboard, because in tonight's episode, you are the star. And this elevator travels directly to the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Steven, please do the captain for us live so we can prove that you do it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the Mark Twain Riverboat. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings. And be sure to watch your children. The waters can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you. Also, there should be no fires or smoking on board. Thank you.
Jeff, okay.
Jeff Fisher.
Yes, hi.
Would you do the Great Piggy Bank Adventure Piggy Bank voice for me, please?
Oh, gosh, I can't even remember what I did, but let's see. Okay, hey, welcome to the Great Piggy Bank Adventure. As you may have already guessed, I am the piggy bank. My job is to help people save and invest money so they can make their dreams come true. Only right now, I'm kind of empty. But we can change that together. All you have to do is start and set a goal.
Yay! Brought to you by T. Rowe Price. Thank you. Here we go. Okay.
He says he threw
finally
it away.
I did throw it away. But
it was a throwaway. Okay.
Okay. We know it's Bill Rogers, but here's Bill Rogers doing Bill Rogers.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in just a few minutes, the lights surrounding the rivers of America will be dimmed so you can fully experience our breathtaking fireworks spectacular, Remember, Dreams Come True, presented by Honda. Please try to remain in the same area until the lights return to normal, if you don't mind.
Wonderful. So we thought we have some time, we might take a couple of questions from the audience if anyone is going to come down. Did we know that? Did you know I was going to do that? Okay. Hurry, rush down. No, just him. Okay.
Hi, my name is Bill and my question is for Corey. I was just curious if we could hear you go back and do General Knowledge and Premium Command.
Oh!
I don't know. Where do you think you are? Disney World?
Yeah. Where do you think you are, Pinky? Disney World? Yes, sirree. You, let's see here. This is your brain. You will eat it. Sleep in it. You will never leave it.
I never knew that was you, because I was working at Epcot when that opened, and you were right across from our little stage there at Anacomicals. That was you. You, yes, all the time.
Yes, well, you know,
that's cool.
The sessions only started 2 hours in when my voice was completely shredded, because I wanted it to sound like one of those sort of revival meetings where the voice sounds like somebody stepped on a cat, you know? Thing, and you can only do that if you really blow up your voice. So, yeah. The brain of a chicken. So, like right now, it sounds a little too clean, although now that I'm older, maybe it's a little easier to have a distorted tone.
Hey, hello, my name is Shay, and I was just wondering if maybe after the show, if I can get your guys' signatures on my shirt. I have bills, and I have tons.
I'll sign anything.
I was just wondering.
Well, if we can hold them, we might do it.
Okay. $5.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Wimple, and I forgot the young lady with the red hair. But my question is for you. Yes, thank you.
That's BJ Ward.
TJ Ward, excuse me.
BJ Ward.
BJ Ward.
TJ Hooker.
No.
Now, wait a second.
Wait a minute. Why, I oughta.
Could you elaborate on what you had to do for Disney Paris with you, your voice coaches? That sounds like. And also, what was the French reaction after you got everything done? That's quite a leap.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun because the music was great. It was a big band, and it was through the Kodak Pavilion, going through time, starting out with gay 90s kind of singing, like, oh, like kind of like that. And then it would go on to, oh, do the yeah, I don't know what it is now, but that's how good my French is. But it was really fun because I got to sing with Thurl Ravenscroft, who was the
deep voice of Conan the Tiger.
And really great session singers, and it was just fun. They said, well, try this, try that, and to bring my old French back and then try to, you know, put it in there and have it be good enough for them was so much fun. It was very challenging.
My name is Andre. Wow, Bill Rogers. Holy mackerel. You have been the voice of Disneyland for me as a child growing up my whole life. I mean, I'm 21, so you've been doing it for 20 years now. It's just, wow. Actually, see, the person. Okay.
Calm down. I know there's a question in here somewhere. Yeah.
Sorry. No, you all are amazing. But I just wanted to ask Bill Rogers. I know your idol is Jack Wagner. He's just a legend. I was wondering, because I've always had this inkling, could you do us the monorail, I'm sorry, not the monorail, the Matterhorn spiel that Jack Wagner does in the Bill Rogers tone?
Are you talking about when he does Permanezcas en Bottles?
Yeah, remains and leave.
Guess what? I do not speak Spanish. I spent almost a week trying to get that one right. One time. I got it right one time. I thank you very much for asking, but there is no way I can do it again.
Could you give us some of
that? Oh, there you go.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jeff, and before I ask my question, I just want to do one thing for the agent back there.
Hi, folks, that's swell.
Anyway.
He's cast.
Thank you. I would really love that. No, my question is, so you're all voice actors, and I was just wondering, what's the difference, like, when you're playing a character and speaking to another character versus when you're doing a voiceover announcement for the park, say, like, what's your motivation in that sense, and... you know, where are you coming from in making it real? Are you thinking of one person that you're speaking to? Or?
Let's give it to Chris. Chris?
If you're playing a character, obviously the character has a history. They've written it, they've given you all kinds of different backstory for the character. And so, you know, you fill your imagination with all those notes. If you're doing an announcer, you want to be clear, you want to be plain, you want to get the words in the right order. You know, but I wish I could give you a sexier answer than that, but we just want to make sure nobody trips and falls, you know? So, yeah, so to be an announcer, obviously, it helps if you have this mellifluous tone of a Bill Rogers. Or you can pretend that you have one, but you folks would know I was cheating. I have a lot more fun doing the characters, and if I did an announcer, it would end up being a character of an announcer, so I... But yeah, when you get an animated character, you have more room to play. When you're doing an announcer, you just want to make sure everybody understands you. Simple enough.
Thank you.
Yes, applaud my answer. Louder.
My name is Casey, and I was just wondering if any of you guys do Spanish voiceovers.
You know, we don't have any of our Spanish voiceover with us tonight.
I'm learning Spanish.
Yeah, congratulations.
Do you hablas español? I guess that's no.
¿Quién habla español aquí?
Anyone?
Well, this is Anaheim. All right.
I took French in high school.
Estoy aprendiendo para mí porque mi esposa es de Venezuela. I'm learning Spanish because my wife, she was my fiance, and then I married her and got her pregnant. I'm learning Spanish, but yes, I would venture to say if there were Spanish voiceovers, they would get native speakers because Disney is about authenticity. Is that correct, Ryan?
Absolutely. All of our Spanish-speaking voices are done by people who actually come from Mexico, Spain, wherever, but they don't.
Puerto Rico.
They usually are very authentic. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Conrad. I recognize the names D. Bradley Baker and Corey Burton from Star Wars: The Clone Wars. I love Star Wars: The Clone Wars.
Thank you, sir.
I was wondering if you guys could, like, you know, do a little skit.
Oh no! We're not paying for that.
Yes, yes.
Not exactly here.
They'll do a skit for you, but not here.
But we'll see you at the Lucasfilm
Disney convention. We're trying to keep it all Disney. You guys are straying from Tartan. Let's get the bowler hat man right there.
Hi there, guys. Before I ask any questions to the entire panel, to Mr. Burton over there, as a Haunted Mansion fanatic and actually butler, let me just say, dead on Paul Frees, and thanks for what a great tribute.
That create the illusion that I actually match that incredible sound of Paul Frees. It's all, you know, smoke and mirrors. EQ, microphones, compression, processing, reverb.
And talent.
Musical.
But it also magnification.
Magnification, that's a different one. But yeah, and it also, you know, my idol, Paul Frees, so... It took a little fine-tuning, but it is an illusion. I don't really have his voice. I'm just so glad that it works. It's also like the illusion of the... well, that's a different project. I shouldn't get into that.
Just a quick question for the entire panel. As an aspiring voice actor, there's not a lot of information on the internet about how to go about being a part of the industry, so what is the best way to break into the voice acting industry?
Let's ask Steven Stanton.
Well, there's a lot of ways to do it. I guess the way that I got into it was to start practicing, and you know, and I haven't stopped practicing, so I'm always trying to learn more and to get better at it. And putting together a demo reel is always kind of one way to find out where you stand, and letting people that you trust listen to it. They can give you an honest opinion, you know. And, can do things like read copy out of magazine ads. So, because a lot of voiceover, in spite of what we're doing here, a lot of voiceover is commercials and things like that that a lot of people might consider boring or not as exciting as, you know, theme parks and animation. But quite a bit of voiceover is things like that. So that's my kind of two cents there. Anybody else want to?
Acting will help you too. Acting lessons. Because you are playing scenes, and even if you're doing copy and reading an announcer, you should be, you know, speaking to someone so someone will listen to you. So acting, improv,
live performing.
It is
live performing.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. It's Carolyn.
I'm Carolyn, and I wanted to know, how much do you actually want to strangle the scriptwriters when you get too much alliteration, or do you relish the challenge?
Oh, that's a good question. Hey, Audrey, you want to take that one?
It's how I know I'm at Disney. It's what sets it apart and makes it fun. So thank you.
I'm so glad.
Carolyn, by the way, is one of our scriptwriters. That's why she was a little question.
I spent many hours listening to Mr. Johnson, Mission to Mars, back when I was a cast member. And does anyone know who did the voice for Mr. Johnson in Mission to Mars?
You know, I always thought it was Don Messick, but Pete Renaday told me it was somebody on staff, maybe. I don't really know.
I mean, Jack Wagner, Paul Frees, Thurl Ravenscroft, Eleanor Audley. I mean, there were voices, J. Pat O'Malley. They ended up in a lot of things in the parks. Back then, they actually did augment a lot of times with people who worked for WED at the time. It's hard to say. You might be right. It might not. It might be somebody from the. Might have been a cast member.
Yeah, you know, it's, the voice. It, to me, it sounded like Don Messick doing one of his serious voices. But
By the way, you brought up. I want to say a word about Peter Renaday. I don't know how many of you are aware of Peter Renaday. Peter is still around. We invited him tonight. He wasn't able to come. Peter, if you remember Country Bear Jamboree, Peter was the voice of the lead bear Homer. And a thousand other things he did for the parks. He worked with BJ a lot. We love him and we miss him and we want him to be here. So I wanted to say hi to Peter if he's out there somewhere in YouTube land, which I assume this is all going on. So, hi, Peter. Yeah, okay.
I couldn't get there.
No, it's okay.
This is for the ladies. Have you guys had the pleasure of working with June Foray, one of my favorites from way back?
I've known June for 42 years.
And she's only 56.
Yeah.
BJ, did you say?
Cartoons, and she's still amazing. I mean, she's just one of a kind. She was one of the, well, the five big five that I started when I started training. I was with Dawes Butler, Joan Gerber, June, Lenny Weinrib. I mean, these were the powerhouse people, and I would follow them to sessions and go, oh my gosh, how can they play scenes with themselves, and they're two different characters. And I just was, I was fascinated by these people, and there were really five or six giants in the business that all did it. I'm thinking of Don Messick, too.
Gene Vanderpile was the other one, right.
Yeah.
One more thing, I just have to, I want to go down the panel just one more time. I don't know how much time we have. Do we have any time left? I think we...
Keep going.
Yeah, keep going, okay. You guys are okay? You don't have anywhere else to go? I just a curious question. So I'll start with you, Dee.
Okay.
Is there any attraction in the park that you would like to do a voice for? That you haven't done. Like, what is the one theme park attraction that you think, I wish I was in that?
I would love to be something in the Haunted Mansion. Yeah. Because I really love that. And I've always loved that ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff?
Yeah, the Haunted Mansion is my ultimate favorite. But Star Tours also, I would love to be a voice in. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Steve?
Yeah, I think maybe the Tiki Room, yes? I don't know.
Yeah, no, and yeah, past or present. It doesn't have to be an existing attraction. BJ.
I think it's fun when you get called into Disney that you don't quite know what you're being called in for, whether it's a robot voice or a spiel or a funny character, and that's always a fun to me. And the first time I remember doing a voice there, they took us out to lunch. There were about three of us, and we all thought, oh, do we chip in or what, you know? We got our wallets out, and then the guy said, no, it's on the mouse.
Okay, Bill, what attraction would you like to be in?
Star Tours announces new flights to Endor.
Okay, Star Tours is winning so far, Mark.
I want to narrate the...
You're on.
I want to narrate the new, if they bring the People Mover back. Yeah. But I want to do it as Al Pacino.
Towering high above Fantasyland is Matterhorn Mountain. Where sleek bobsleds race through icy caverns and crystal caves. Yeah, it's a terrific. You guys having fun yet? Keep going.
I'm saving my voice for a job Monday, so I'm not going to do anything funny after that. Yeah. You know what? I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, so we always went to Disney World, and I would have loved to have been on the original Pirates of the Caribbean ride. That was good. I used to have the little pistol musket I brought back from that. Just any one of those guys rolling around would have been great. That was part of my childhood right there.
Yeah, I would love to have been the voice of Monsanto's Home of the Future. Yes. An entire meal can be cooked in less than 5 minutes with a microwave oven.
Well, Haunted Mansion, I too was a big Paul Frees fan, and that would be fun to be a ghost, but I would be fighting you on the pirate strike. Definitely. I always felt like a pirate. I always thought it'd be fun, especially that guy in the opening who's yelling and screaming on the ship, you know, and people coming in. That's the best you got there! Bring it on, yeah! Yeah, I would love to do that. That would be fun.
My imagination is just closed up.
It is not.
It has, because I've already done more than I ever thought I could be a part of in this park, and it's ranged from being gophers and girls and birds and every possible thing. But Pirates of the Caribbean rocks, and I'd be a screaming wench if they let me.
No fear of curses have ye. Dead men tell no tales.
Having grown up here in Southern California, came to Disneyland a lot, and I was always taken, much like Corey and some of the other people on the panel, by Paul Frees. He was one of my heroes growing up. But I always had a secret desire to be Jack Wagner. But I wanted to do the spiel for Fantasy in the Sky fireworks as Sydney Greenstreet. Cast your eyes skyward so everyone can see Fantasy in the Sky. Ooh, look, there's another one. Oh, it's next, we'll go look for the blackbird.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, you give you guys a microphone. Look what happens. All right.
Your mistake.
It's true. But I owe my job to you guys, so I can't be mean.
We owe it to you.
No. It's all about you, not about you. I just want to go back down the panel because I don't see. Do we have another question, or did you guys chicken out? Okay, I'll come up with another lame question. Here you go. Hey, Dee?
Yes.
Do people recognize you from the parks when they meet you? Like from the Disney parks?
No, they don't. No, I'm just a boring little white guy. They don't know who the heck I am, and that's fine for me. I'm okay to be invisible.
Oh, okay. Do you ever mention it? Does it ever come up in a cocktail conversation?
You know, it's really hard. It's hard for my girls, you know, in standing in line of Pirates of the Caribbean, I'd say, you know, the parrot's my dad. That parrot, that's my dad. But I keep quiet about it myself.
You're so modest.
But I'm very proud of the Boba Fett in the Star Tours ride. I love Star Wars, and I'm very, very proud of that.
What's the line?
Prepare to die, rebel scum.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Hi, bro. Do you ever tell people that you do this? I mean, that you do a voice for Disney parks? Is that something that comes up?
Yeah, you know, my nieces and nephews are all, they get very excited, so yes, I do. They can't wait, you know, to go down there and come in town and freak out. And yeah, I took them there all when they last were here, and you know, yeah, I tell them. But, and sometimes I get somebody but it's kind of like, it's the nice thing about voiceovers, you're just kind of normal, and you just do this stuff, and then I just keep it quiet usually, you know? I mean, I'm very proud of it, and I think it's cool, you know? But yeah, it's like, it's just such a, I still can't grasp my head around it, you know? I mean, I just feel like it's so wild. So, I mean, yeah, it's just, but it's, Brian's the best. We do love working with him, so don't, you know.
Thank you. I am wonderful. Steven. And modest. So now you're on this is the Mark Twain.
Mark Twain.
Yeah. Do you like make a habit of every time you come to the park, do you go on the Mark Twain just because?
Well, I went to the park to hear that whole thing, and it was closed on the day that I came here, so I didn't get to. I've never actually heard the thing, but I wander around talking like this all the time to myself, so, you know, it goes in my head, comes out. So maybe next time you guys can have that open for me.
Yeah.
You
know? We're going to work on that, absolutely. BJ, Small World, it's so iconic.
Oh, I know.
I mean, can you stand close to it without people recognizing you?
I really can. I mean, nobody knows what we do, and that's kind of the fun. It's a little secret, you know? And I think you have a much longer life as a voiceover person than someone on camera, because they see you on camera and you're identified with that, you know, diaper or whatever it is, and when you're a voiceover person, you're like, oh, were you the squeaky little voice? Was that you? And I think it's more fun. You have a longer life. And the people are great in voiceover land, I think. Don't you all think so? Everybody comes at it from a different way. Some people come from radio. Some people come from acting and improv. And I find very generous. Other actors much more generous in voiceover than on camera. They'll say, oh, did you read for the part of the queen? You're perfect for that. I really couldn't get that low. But you call your agent. Get that happens a lot in voiceover, not on camera. Not on camera.
He's got one. Yeah. Bill, you're such a specific voice. Can you actually disguise it so people don't know who you are?
Believe it or not, I wander through the park from time to time, and I have been very mean to some park employees, cast members, There was a young lady, we were doing a pre-parade announce on Main Street, and there was a lady in the Emporium who was reading along with me, if you will, because she heard it every evening at 7:21. And I thought, you know, there are just times you can't leave this alone. And I went back and I said, I think you were mocking me. And she goes, sir, I'm pretty sure you were mocking me. She says, no, sir, I would never mock anybody. I mean, no, I wasn't mocking. Oh, I'm pretty sure you were. Well, what was I saying? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, she darn near fainted. Seriously.
So, Mark, is it true that you hang out in the lobby of the Tower of Terror just to hear yourself?
I set up a folding chair and a card table, and I just talk to you. I actually do blab about it a lot, and 2 out of 10 times I can get free parking into Disney, depending on how nice the cast member is. But they all know me at the ride, especially the Tower in Florida. And what's great is they'll let me go on after midnight in my own elevator all alone when the park's empty. And if you think it's creepy when you're on an elevator with a lot of people, think about being up there all alone after midnight when no one's in the park, and it's the most surreal, oddest experience. But I love it. And I got half off on a Cobb salad in Disneyland a few months ago. That was good.
Congratulations. Hey, Chris, what about you? Do people recognize you from the park here? Take mine.
Not really, because I'm doing characters and they're different from my own voice. And if it comes up, it comes up. But I mean, I'm going to be bragging about it in the Hilton Lounge in about 20 minutes. Get a free drink, maybe, I don't know, but you know what, when my boys are old enough to take to the park, I'm going to tell them that that's me, you know, anything I can do to get them to obey me, I'm going to, you know.
If I have to ask him to go, please put your toys away and keep your getting back for crying out loud before I have to do another voice, all right, please.
Yeah, whatever I can get to make my family love me, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Well, that's honest, anyway, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Corey, do you tell people? I mean, do you have to tell people who you are? Do people? You all seem to know who Corey Burton is, don't you?
You know, I...
Yes? Go ahead.
I'm a very shy, private guy. I like to sit back and watch the reactions and see if it's working or not.
I mean, you go on the parking lot tram, I assume, like the rest of us.
No, actually, I say, oh, shut up. I mock myself. but yeah, really, I sort of live by the words of Professor Marvel. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. You know? It's all about making the character on the screen, in the walls of the building, coming out of the ride vehicle, affect people as if it has its own spirit and soul and life. And if I can help make that illusion real, you know, I've done my job. That makes me really, really happy. But no, I don't like to step in front of the step out of the spotlight very often.
Well, Fred Tatasciore, I have to ask you, because I've seen you with a sign in front of Space Mountain. I am the voice of Space Mountain.
I actually tell people that I'm Corey Burton. So it actually kind of works for me that he steps out of the spotlight and...
Do you actually ever tell... Do you ever, like, mention it while you're in the line?
That I'm Corey Burton?
No.
No, I don't. I agree with what he said. It's really neat to just experience it, just be part of the whole majesty and the calliope of the whole thing. It's really great.
When something you've done would make somebody say, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. That's all you need to hear. Yeah, seriously.
But come on, Audrey, cocktail chatter, doesn't it ever come up?
No, it mostly comes up in cell phone calls and text messages from extended family and friends of, can you settle an argument? Okay, Audrey, we stand in the park, and I was sure, I told him that was your voice, you know, and maybe my aunt saying, we were arguing, I was like, I know that's Audrey, isn't that her?
And I'd be like, yeah, we'll rewrite it. And then like an hour later, live with somebody else, and they'd be like, okay, now is that you too? So I get lots of little texts from, again, people who know me really well recognize something in the sound. Strangers, not so much.
I'm completely anonymous. In cocktail chatter, yes, I have told people that I do things, not necessarily in line. My dear sweet wife has mentioned to people that that's my husband doing that. And I love her for it. Something I wanted to mention, Dee and I both worked at Epcot. I was there in 1982. I was playing tuba in the Maple Leaf Brass when it first started. And I was outside for 5 years with my tuba. And then moved into the music library and then moved to another park somewhere around.
Your Dreamcatcher, right?
No, Dreamfinder. That was Ron Schneider.
Oh, I thought you were Dreamfinder.
No. I was just tuba boy. Yes. I've been recognized for being in the Maple Leaf Brass before, but I've never been recognized as my voice. Because I don't use my own voice in the park, because I'm always Sala, or a few other things that have been replaced.
And now, I'm sure, I don't know if it's happened to everyone here, but sometimes, yeah, when you do point out, oh, that's me, that's my voice.
No, it's not.
Nobody believes it.
No,
sure
no one
is.
Absolutely. No one
oh, yeah, right.
That guy's a millionaire. He's just not you. That guy's got a solid gold jet.
Yeah. But that reminds me of a story, because I would often hear people would say, oh, you do so many voices. Your children are so lucky when you read to them. And I'd say, no, actually, no. I try, my daughter Josie here, I try reading her The Hobbit, you know, and doing all the different voices. And she'd just say,
how normal, Dad. How normal. I don't want to hear your voices.
Okay. She just wants to hear Dad. I understand that. That's okay.
Wait, I have to know, how many of you worked in the park as cast members? You worked in the park, and you?
I did. I was fired.
You were fired, yeah.
I started as a stand-up comedian. I toured for around 10 years, and the last day job I had was in 95 at the Whispering Canyon Cafe at the Wilderness Lodge, and I didn't make it through the probationary period. It was like a 90-day probationary period, then you're a full-fledged cast member, and they fired me before then. I'm on rehire status, so it's, you know.
Can you say why?
I feel pretty good about it. It's not like I was a terrible employee. I just didn't show up enough when I was supposed to, so. I didn't, you know, I was a little tardy and a little, the day they were planning on firing me, I was late. Luckily, they let me do my voices, so it worked out. But yeah.
Work is so bourgeois.
I just wanted to mention, you guys, you two at the end, you're both on American Dad.
Yeah, well, right? Yes, American Dad.
Do anyone watch American Dad on TV? Yeah. Klaus?
Hello. Hello, America.
Yeah, and Jeff Fisher plays Jeff Fisher.
Hey, what's going on?
But it's just amazing. All these guys, these people work an awful lot. I don't like to go off Disney, but I want to say for a second, how many of you actually have played something in Scooby-Doo? Right. And how many of you have done something with Masters of the Universe or one of those kind of muscly hero movies? It was you. It's you again, isn't it, BJ? I was thinking of, like, you know, He-Man, She-Ra. You were, which one were you?
I was Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, that's right.
And Scarlet on G.I. Joe.
Duke, I'm more of a man than you'll ever be.
Okay, what's the one weird credit you have there, Dee? Tell us.
Weird credit?
Weird credit.
Do we have time?
Legends of the Hidden Temple!
My first television series, which I did while I was living down there in Orlando, was Legends of the Hidden Temple.
It's Olmec. Yes.
Oh, we gotta wrap it up? Okay, that would be the end.
That's Kimberly who's telling us to get out.
Yeah, they're making us go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Wrap it up. Good night. Thank you very much.